Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. The title of our message this morning is Babylon is Coming. It may sound a little strange for some of you. Why do we title Babylon is Coming? Hopefully, by the end of this message, you will know why we put that title. I don't know if you can see the bulletin, but in the bulletin, there is three pictures in one, the front of the bulletin. There is the Tower of Babel. There is actually Babylon, and actually the present Babylon. And as you can see, there are birds flying. If you look at the title, there are birds flying away from the word Babylon. And that is an invitation for God's people to get away from Babylon. Now let's bow our heads for a special prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, anoint our lips so this becomes your message to your people because of your grace. In the name of Christ, amen. We are all aware from Scripture that we have a personal enemy who seeks our very lives. He is called by Jesus the evil one, as well known the devil. And always when I see the name devil, I see the D that it stands for does and evil. So the devil is the one who does evil. And anyone who does evil is acting under his power. And then there is a very common name that it became his typical name, Shatan in Hebrew, which we say in English, Satan. Translating Satan, it means the adversary, the enemy. And as Peter called, the great enemy. And we see in Revelation the most revealing name for Satan, which is Abaddon or Apollyon in Greek, which means the destroyer, the father of destruction. The father of lies, Jesus called him. The Bible called him the dragon, the old serpent. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, in a New Living Translation, if you found, please open your Bibles in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, which says like this, stay alert, brothers and sisters. Watch out for your great enemy, not just enemy, but great enemy, the devil, the one who does evil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Those are dear brothers and sisters from Africa can relate very well to this text. They know exactly what that means. Some of us that live in the Western, that we only time we see a lion, maybe in pictures or movies or in YouTube or sometimes in a zoo, we may not have the complete concept of this text. But my dear brothers, they speak Swahili from Africa. They know exactly what this verse means. The scriptures also reveals to us that we have an impersonal enemy as well. One that surrounds us every moment and threatens our eternal life as well. Let's open our Bibles in 1 John. It's close to the end of your Bible. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says here what John calls the world. Verse 15, do not love the world. Don't love the world, or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And you know, if the love of the Father is not in us, we are dead, we're doomed. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Have you noticed? The pride of life. We will address the word pride a few times during this message. The world and its desires are used by the destroyer, the Abaddon, the devil, as a mortal weapon. Mortal weapons against Abba's beloved children. But anyone who chooses to live according to Abba's holy principles will live forever. We are surrounded by the world. Yes, we are in the world. And the world is all around us. And by that, John is trying to tell us that the sinful world ways are around us. He's not talking about the nature, because God created the nature for our own beauty and benefit. But a human sinful system is what John is talking about. A system that attracts, that controls, that entices, a wicked culture that attacks our very own way of thinking, our faith, our principles, our morals, and seeks our eternal destruction. Let's not be wrong. Let's not misunderstand. Anywhere where immorality becomes dominant, destruction comes right after. Any place, look to all the history, all the empires, the moment that they became strongly weakened, destruction came. Destruction is always present where immorality is present, where the principles are step over principles, God's principles. That's exactly what happens. Destruction comes with immorality, with lack of control. In a sinful, when we become sinful, wicked, the sinful world is made up of living, breathing people whose ways are controlled by the desires of the flesh and by the evil spirit of the power of the air, Satan and all his demons. These people, as they live out, and unconvictions, because they don't have convictions, they have unconvictions. I'm just creating a new word here in English. It's unconvictions because it's not really convictions. And as I said, as they live out their worldviews, no, they cannot live out. I believe they die in their blindness. They craft a world around us that is intent to entice us and lure us away from the righteous path, away from the light into darkness, away from life into death, away from Christ into Abaddon, into Babylon. And that is what the daughters of men did to the sons of God right before the days of Noah. And sin multiplied, and where there is a multiplication of sin, of course, destruction comes right after. And then destruction came, of course. And destruction always comes when and where sin multiplies. Please, brothers and sisters, keep this close into your mind and share this with other people. Remind them that destruction always comes when and where sin multiplies. That's the world. That's the world that John is talking about that we should not love. And those are the things from the world that we should not love, because the love of God won't be within us, with us, if we do so. That is what Babylon is all about. It is a boiling culture that are being fed by its unbelief, by evil lusts that John mentions. Lust of the eyes that makes one blind. Lust and pride of the flesh that makes one rotten. It is persistent. It is deceptive. It is a ruthless enemy to our faith. It is evil. It would have you. It would grab you and pull you away from the truth. It has a symbolic name in the Bible. And that name you can guess. Yes, it is the power of Babylon. A power that is keeping coming up, over and over in the world that we live in. Babylon is all over the place. And the sins of Babylon, what Babylon represents. Anyone who reads throughout the Bible has bumped into Babylon again and again and again and again. It is not just one time. It is all the time. Why does God give so much attention to this place called Babylon? Why does God talk so much about the fall of Babylon? That is a good question. Let's address that question. Babylon was the ancient leader in human rebellion among the nations. That's what is one of the symbols of Babylon. Rebellion. The nations derive their beginnings from the time when in Babel, the place, a tower was being built. They call the Tower of Babel. In defiance of the commandment of God, Babel, then came Babylon. That became an evil symbol of rebellion against God and has been since. Now we know that Babylon was a city in ancient Mesopotamia on the Euphrates River. Yes. You know Saddam Hussein, I don't know if you have heard his name. He tried to rebuild Babylon. And where is he now? Buried on the sand of the desert. The Bible says that Babylon was never to be rebuilt. It looks like Saddam Hussein decided not to pay attention to what the Bible said. And that's the arrogance throughout the ages. People always ignoring what God tell. From it arose a mighty empire. From Babylon arose a mighty empire. For a time, it dominated the whole world. From that empire came one army, one day. First, Babylon sent some friends to Israel, to Jerusalem. And the king showed them the temple. Show them the gold, put a carpet to welcome them. And they took notice. They took notice of all the gold vessels, all the riches and everything else. And they went back and they told the king, look, over there in Israel, there they are proud. They are bragging about how much gold they have, how rich they are, and how wonderful is their temple. So the king of Babylon sent his soldiers. And they attacked Jerusalem. And they conquered Jerusalem. They tore down its walls and burned the house of God, the temple, the place where the Shekinah, the glory of God, was revealed. It was completely destroyed. Because at that time, the people were more concerned about worshiping the temple than the God of the temple. They were more concerned about their religion instead of their faith. Yes, the enemy of God's people came. And not only came, destroyed everything, but it took the best of the best from the land into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar was a leader in the world empire building. He was a great builder. There had never been an empire like his. Yes, his achievements were astounding in building Babylon to its level of human glory. Now we know in chapter 2 and chapter 5 of Daniel about the dreams. This king had two dreams. in one dream, chapter 2, he dreamed about this huge statue. And it was so huge that it was touching the sky. And then, you know the story, as he was interpreted, it says, the head of this statue is you, is Babylon. But then it told each metal, each part of the statue, there was another expression, another kingdom that was going to come after. But you notice that all of them are connecting to one statue. That means Babylon, just a different aspect, but it was all connected. And comes from the head into the toes. It was all part of the rebellious symbolism of Babylon. In the chapter 5, it talks about the second dream that the king had. In this dream, he is a tall tree. And notice what it says. Chapter 4, verse 11. I should have said chapter 4. I'm sorry, I said chapter 2 and chapter 4. In chapter 4, he's a tall tree. Look what it says, chapter 4, verse 11, the New King James Version. Again, the two dreams in chapter 2 and chapter 4. It says then, the tree grew and became strong. This is he talking about his dream. In its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of the earth. Pay attention to the fact that he says it reached the heavens. Babylon was mighty and powerful. It seemed invincible. At least the king and everybody else inside of those walls, they believed that it was impossible for anything to happen to them. Just like the same mentality of the Tower of Babel. We're going to make this building to a point that not a flaw, nothing else can affect us. That is the arrogance of Babylon. That's the spirit of Babylon. We are invincible. They have 14 miles square, huge outer walls, which someone told once that it was 87 feet thick. 87 feet thick. And 350 feet high. Can you imagine 350 feet high? That is a 35-story building. I don't know how many of you have stand under a 35-story building and see how high that is. There were 100 great bronze gates in the walls and a limitless water supply. So they believed that nothing could happen to them. They could actually plant food inside of the walls and never leave the city. So if somebody will come and surrender the city, no problem. You can conquer this city. You don't have an army big enough to go 14 miles on one side all around to shut it up. You could not do it. Even if you could, they could outlast you because remember, they could plant their own crops inside. They could provide their own food. They didn't have to go outside for anything. They believed they had everything. They got the farmers. They got the water. They got everything that they need. They got a wall like no other wall in the world. They would just laugh at you 350 feet above you. And by the way, there was no weapon. There is nothing in those days that they could throw over such a tall wall. So inside, they felt safe. Nothing, no one could defeat them. That's what they thought. That's what they believe. There's no way the city could be invaded or attacked. Babylon was safe by its own merits, by its own walls, according to them. Babylon became just another arrogant symbol of opposition to the Almighty God. It is symbolism. Its symbolism is applied throughout the history. And it goes right to the end of time. Now here is in the scripture what Babylon is synonymous of. Number one, pride. Number two, which is a product of pride, arrogance. Number three, which you also can see that is a product of both the two before, rebellion. Number four, idolatry. Number five, immorality. Number six, falsehood. Number seven, hate. Number eight, persecution. Number nine, evil. And of course, to sum up the list, number 10, destruction. This was what Babylon, throughout the scripture, is synonymous of. Babylon is a perfect reflection of the evil one which it represents. Let me make sure that you understood clearly, brothers and sisters. The true creator of Babylon, it was not Nebuchadnezzar. The true creator of Babylon was not a man, was an archangel named Lucifer, the evil one. He is truly the head of Babylon. Do you want scripture? Here are some scripture. First of all, let's read for us to understand the concept that we try to put together. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9. And this is a text that is very well known by all of us that knows a little bit about the scripture. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. There is somebody that has been credited by saying there's nothing new. Everything is just a repetition. It's like a cycle. You know, circle that goes on and on. It repeats itself. And Ezekiel 28 verse 14, New Living Translation says, I, meaning God, ordain and anoint you as the mighty angelic garden. You had access to the holy mountain of God and walked among the stones of fire. This is a reference to Lucifer as clearly saying that he was anointed of the Lord as angelic garden. You had access to the mountain of God. Now Isaiah chapter 14 verse 12 and 14 New King James Version says, how you are falling from heaven, O Lucifer. By the way, the name Lucifer here means the one who carries light. This is actually a reference from the Vulgata, the Latin version, which started using this title. And from that point on, it carried on to other Bible versions. In the New Century Version, it says, O King of Babylon. Because if you read the chapter 14, it's a reference to the King of Babylon, but also application to Lucifer. And that was inspired because the head of Babylon, the real head of Babylon, is Lucifer. He is the real head. The son of the morning says, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. Remember when they make reference to Babylon, it says the one who invade the nations, the one who fought the nations. Is making reference also to Satan, says, you who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mountain of the congregation of the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. If you read chapter 2 of Daniel, and if you read chapter 4 of Daniel, when the king of Babylon wants to be as high as the sky, and the chapter 4, when he says that he wants to be this tree here is a symbol of God, where everyone comes to eat under him. That is the same, word by word of what is applied to Satan. In Revelation 12, verse 7 through 9, the New King James Version says this: "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon," which is Satan, of course. "And Satan and the dragon and his angels," his demons, "they fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil, the one who does evil, and Shatan, Satan, the destroyer, who deceives the whole world." Notice the expression, the same thing that was expressed in Isaiah, also in Daniel, "who deceives the whole world." He says, the one who weakened the nations, the whole world. He says, he was cast to earth, and his angels are cast with him. Now, let me pause for a moment here and give you something for you to put together in your mind. The first Babylon that was ever created, it was tried to be built in heaven. Let me explain. Satan made himself to be Babylon, and he preached and he enticed one third of the angels to build this wall around him. And then he declared war to God. He believed that he was ready. With all this wall of one third of the angels around him, he became the first Babylon. Remember the symbol of Babylon? Pride, rebellion, hate. All those apply to Satan. So Satan actually was the first Babylon. And the angels that he deceived made this wall. But that wall came down. And so did he. They all were cast out of heaven because there is no place for Babylon in heaven. So he came down. And he came down and he continued his mission to rebuild Babylon. That's why we put the title Babylon is Coming. Because it went down, it keeps coming. It goes down, it keeps coming. It's like an evil that refuses to die. And we'll be doing this until the end. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, in the New King James Version, it says this: "At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book." He's talking about that Michael had a fight with the first Babylon, and Michael will continue to be fighting to the end against the last Babylon that keeps coming up. Babylon comes up again and again and again in history. Not just in one place, one time, but again and again, Satan keeps rising up Babylon, because from the smoldering ashes of one defeated Babylon, rises the next Babylon with the same vicious hate against God and against his people, with destruction in its wings, with destruction in his hands. God warns us about this over and over in the Bible. The first warning we find in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God tells us about this war with Babylon and her children, Babylon and her king, the dragon himself. He fights against it. God does. He fights against the dragon. And he throws it back down. But it keeps coming up. That is Babylon. When we all believed that Babylon was done with, here comes another portion of Babylon. Because remember the statue? The head was Babylon, and then the Medo-Persians, and then the Greeks, and then the Rome. Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. This is the New Living Translation. Please open your Bibles in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. Please mark this in your Bible. Why is this verse so important? Because, you see, the Roman Church preaches that Peter was the head, the first head of the Roman Church, which is not true anyway, but that's what they claim. And look what Peter says. Peter, this is not a coincidence, because this is done by God, by inspiration of God. Peter, of all the apostles, was the one who decided to call Rome Babylon. He says this, your sister church here in Babylon. By the way, this time when Peter wrote this, the old Babylon, the one in the by Iraq, that was gone, destroyed under dirt. Nobody even knew where it was. He's talking about Rome. Church history tells us that he wrote that from Rome. That's why he was referring to Rome. It says, your sister church here in Rome sends you greetings, and so does my son Mark. What Peter did not know at that time, but John did, because it was revealed to John, that Rome, that same church, he says, your sister church, later on will be corrupted and will become Babylon itself, because we will use the arms of the evil empire called Babylon, will fill itself with blasphemies and with idolatry and all sorts of evil teachings, and will become that church, the Roman church, the Babylon of the last days. Why does he call Rome Babylon? As we said before, out of the ashes rise another world-conquering, God-hating Babylon like the empire of old. And that was Rome in Peter's day. Even after Rome falls, there is another one, another Babylon that keeps coming up. It is going to keep right on until the end. When the old Rome fell, a new Rome came up. They call the Holy Empire, Roman Empire. And they put, Satan put, the beast as the head of that Babylon. In Revelation 17, and we find also Revelation 18, it depicts Babylon as the harlot, a prostitute riding on a beast. Here it shows that she represents an entity that was once faithful to God, but then aligned herself with the one that opposes God, with Satan himself, the dragon. And became the beast. And his faithful remnant was now being threatened by this same power. This power is alive and well, and it's growing by the day, again stronger and stronger, making alliance with all sorts of governments, just like the Bible predicted it would do. It says clearly that this power will make war against the remnants of God, Those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ, Revelation 14:12. And that's talk about you and I, brothers and sisters. Babylon is now a corporate name for an end-time apostate church. The head of such entity call himself Holy Father, or Abba, or in Latin what they call Pope or Papa. We are not here, brothers and sisters, to attack any Roman Catholics. We are just here to show you that what the Bible says, that that power, that head, with many names of blasphemy, and there is not another name that can be so highly blasphemous as the one who called himself Holy Father. What is sad is that the whole world is calling him Holy Father. Yes, even some people from our own denomination, people who should know better, keep calling him Abba all the time, call him Holy Father. Do you know why he called himself Holy Father? The same reason why Satan says, I'm going to go and be as high as the Most High. The same reason why Nebuchadnezzar said, I want to be on top, I want to be as high. That is the aspiration of Babylon, to be like God, but in opposition to God, to try to replace God. That is Babylon. That is what it is. This Babylon will be crushed by the glory of the second coming of Christ. Like every single Babylon has been crushed in the past, this one also will pass. Then Babylon will remain in ashes for 1,000 years. After the return of Christ, Babylon will be on ashes for 1,000 years. But again, for the last time, it will come up again when the Lord Jesus Christ comes down with the holy city, with you and I inside of that city, as we come down here so God can create a new earth. Babylon, the head of Babylon, Satan and his demons, and every enemy of God will stand up. Yes, the beast, the false prophet, Satan himself. In Revelation 21 verse 8 says, the list of those that will be together for this attack. It says like this, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexual immorals, the sorcerers, the witchcraft, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Yes, that is the last time we ever will hear from Babylon. That will be the last time that the head of Babylon, Satan himself, and all his demons, and all his followers, and the beast, and the false prophet, and all those that love sin, will finally find its end. Dear brothers and sisters, when for a short period of time, a godless system and power seem to be dominant and ascendant on this world, we have seen it before. We will see it again and again. But remember, we don't belong to this world. We cannot love this world because we need to love the Father. Our final destination is not in here. We don't belong here. Don't get attached to things of this world because we don't belong here, brothers and sisters. Our place is in heaven. A glorious home that the Lord himself is preparing for you and I. Through all the ages, God's people always heard, Babylon is coming. Babylon is coming. That brought apprehension to the God's people through all the ages. And some, even our days, sometimes are so alarmed with the signs and some people are so afraid what is going to happen when there is a Sunday law. What is going to happen when the Babylonian will have the power to control all the nations in the world? What is going to happen to us, the remnant? When you hear the cry, Babylon is coming, I want you to hear the other one. The other one that says, our Lord is coming, and Babylon will be no more. Instead of thinking and being afraid of and concerned about the cry, Babylon is coming, be comforted with the expression, the Lord is coming. So as God's redeemed people, trust Him. Trust His promises. Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in Him. Trust also in God. Because He said, I'm going to prepare a place. And when I have prepared a place, I'm coming back to you. And to take you home with me. Brothers and sisters, love God. And keep His commandments. Keep your faith. Walk always in His ways. Walk in His holiness. Pray. Give and work for the advance of His kingdom. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, over the flow of human history, it doesn't matter how many Babylons will rise. If you choose God to be in charge of all that you have and all that you do, He will deliver you from the hands of the kings of Babylon. Call on God to fulfill His good purposes in your life. Then, don't you worry. Babylon won't be coming to you or for you. Instead, rejoice because Jesus is coming for you because of you. Come, Lord Jesus, and rescue your people out from her. Establish your everlasting kingdom. May your kingdom, Lord, come. And may your will, Lord, be done. On earth, on my heart, as it is in heaven. May the Lord bless you, my brother and sister. And don't forget, it is not Babylon that is coming. It is actually the Lord who is coming. Because the scripture says, Babylon will be done with. Enjoy the promises that the Lord is coming for you. You are His, and He wants you to be where He is. God bless. Remember, the Lord is coming to take you home. Amen.